Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Rick.
I'm all right, mate. Episode number 91.
Yep.
It's like in that middle ground now between like 90 was fairly exciting and a really good podcast. And then we kind of just counting down the days till 100 now.
Yeah, let's just release 8 more very average podcasts and then have a big party for 100.
I feel like we need to plan it like this week.
Are we actually doing it?
I think we do something big.
Okay.
Live, Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, me, you. Anyone else?
Who else would you have on? Like a third co-host?
Yeah. We'll have a think. Maybe we could have like a couple of like guest co-hosts.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Throughout the we could do maybe like a 2-hour one, have a couple of guest co-hosts.
I feel like this is one of the things now we've committing to.
Oh, so, we're committing.
Okay.
Committed.
On your head be it.
It's your job.
Great.
Welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. Episode number 91. Today's one is actually a really interesting one because we've just sat down with for a full-on interview with England Golf,
yes.
Jeremy and Gemma.
Yes.
So Jeremy Tomlinson and Gemma Hunter. You might remember Gemma from the World Handicap Golf... World Handicap... Why have I lost my words?
Go on.
World Handicap System.
Yeah.
Yeah. Podcast, which is actually one of our... best podcasts ever.
Gemma's very good. She knows
her
stuff.
Good. So a couple of... How long ago was that, by the way?
Oh, ages. I'd look before, try and look at the numbers we did it. I think it was like... Oh, God. I'm going to have to have a look
Must
now.
Be like episode 30s or something.
It was ages ago.
Anyway, Gemma and Jeremy are coming here today and they want to...
They've already come.
Oh, yeah, of course they have.
Yeah.
Sorry, they've just left.
Drink trying to pretend it's happening now. We've already done the podcast.
So we've just recorded the podcast with them. It's very interesting.
Yes.
You learn a lot about handicaps.
Yes.
Also, a new handicap that's coming out where you don't have to be a member of a golf club, which I think will be a really, really important handicap.
I ended up doing it.
Oh, yeah, you
listen
did it.
Listen to the end to hear
it.
What my handicap is.
There you go, a little fish, little hook there.
I feel like you know what you're doing. It's only been holiday for a week, doing nothing but eat and just walk
that
around.
True. I've been doing. You know what though? People with with children will relate to this. It's not a holiday with kids.
I can imagine 3 kids.
It's frigging stressful.
Yeah,
like really stressful.
Come for a week of work.
I've come back to the office just to sit in silence.
We've actually filmed a good video this morning, which will be out, not yet, because that's just going out tomorrow. No, that'll be out soon.
Yeah, this week,
hopefully. Well, got new golf ball. It's not a new golf ball. It's a good golf ball, but is it a good golf ball?
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, so I had a nice holiday, nice bit of time away, down in the Cotswolds, which was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Bumped into a few fans, which was nice.
Fans of mine.
Fans of yours and mine, which always... I find it strange outside of the golf setting still. Like, I expect it at a golf setting now and again, because I'm kind of a big deal. But outside of a golf setting, it kind of... I think it surprises them
That's
as well.
That's what I was going to say. Because if you're at an event and you see you, you might be like, oh, I saw an Instagram who's coming here or whatever. But if you're stood at a mac and cheese van, which I believe one fan was, waiting for some mac and cheese, and next to you looking, Rick Shields is there shouting the odds.
I was at a caravan park, which we weren't even staying at a mac and cheese van, ordering mac and cheese, and a fan said, looked at me and went, you Rick Shields? I went, yeah.
I think he said that, though, because you barged through the front of the queue with your blue tick on Instagram, because that's what Rick, that's if you didn't know this, that's what Rick often does. Whenever we're queuing up for food, he just barges, he gets his Instagram, barges the front and goes, blue tick, let me in now. And they do.
Well, Well, yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Lots of clout.
Because you were going, I'm Rick Shields. And then he went, are you Rick Shields?
I'm like, hi, guys, it's Rick Shields down here at the campsite at the mac and cheese van.
Was it good mac and cheese?
It was, honestly. It was that good. So I had to order the food via phone as well in advance. It was that good. I actually texted the number afterwards and said that was unbelievable.
Did they reply?
Yeah.
That's quite good.
They wanted me to give them a Facebook review. But I'm not into that stuff.
Too much effort. I tell you what, I'm really into mac and cheese recently because we had it at the Open.
It's got really popular.
It's very, I'm a big fan of mac and cheese.
I feel like a lot of American listeners will be dead into it. I feel like mac and cheese is huge in America.
Yeah, they'll have more stuff and like all bits and bats. I just quite like mac and to cheese.
We had it with bacon, cheddar, and onion.
Yeah, onion. Okay. Come on with that.
No, but it was nice bit of getaway. Nice to be back. I feel kind of ready to start work again.
Mm.
And we've got an exciting week this week because we're off to the Ladies Open.
Off to the Ladies Open to do some bits and bats and just watch some golf. Should be good.
Is it Carnoustie this year?
Which we've played before.
Oh, I like Carnoustie.
You've played it a few times, haven't you? I played it with me once.
I've only played it a full round with you, though. I've only played it once a full round.
We filmed there for a lot.
That was you. Yeah.
That was good. That was a good course. Wasn't hard on when you played it, though, weirdly.
Dead easy.
Which it sounds, obviously Carnoustie is known for being one of the hardest courses around, but to be fair, that day, it was easy. There's no rough, it was nice, a little bit of soft breeze, not too much.
It was dead easy.
I can imagine I think I probably beat you that day as well.
Did you? I shot the lights out.
Did you?
We played with Liam.
We played with Liam from Golf Mates.
It'd be quite good to get him on the podcast, but he's a busy man.
I texted him the other day, asked him if he wanted to come on, because I'm sure a lot of people listening knows who Liam is. He's got a golf YouTube channel called Golf Mates. It's really big, doing really well. And he also caddied, as you said last week or whatever, on the bag for Dan Gavins and won a European Tour event, which is outrageous. So I texted him saying, do you want to come on? And he was busy. He legitimately was busy.
He was caddying again for Dan.
Yeah, so he was actually busy. But that's a podcast for the future, I think. Because my question to him would be, like, he came from... Because where's your PJ Pro? You were kind of delivering a service to try and get people playing better golf and hopefully get more clients. He came off the back of... Are you looking at your hair in the mirror?
Yeah.
In the phone. it looks good. He kind of came from nowhere, didn't he? And built a channel. And I remember his YouTube channel at the start.
He didn't come from nowhere.
He came from a lesson with you.
Thank you.
And his channel kind of... I remember being on like 4,000 subs for what felt like an eternity. And then all of a sudden he got some real momentum and now he's doing really well. Got a full team and he's... employing people and killing it.
It would be getting good to get him on the podcast. I'm just trying to find, and you might know off the top of your head.
I thought you were doing something on your phone.
I was.
Yeah, right, okay.
This podcast today with Jeremy and Gemma, what's their official roles?
So Jeremy is the CEO of England Golf. Do you not know that?
Oh, so he's the big dog. He's the top dog.
Yeah.
All right.
He's the biggest guy at England Golf. He's 6'7". Wow. I'm joking. He's
really nice.
So he was a big wig as well, I believe, at Acushnet before he used to work for England Golf. So he's very established in the golf industry.
Wow.
And he was a very nice guy as well. He wasn't kind of super corporate. He spoke really well and he was very engaging, very obviously intelligent guy. And then Gemma is England Golf's head of handicapping and course rating. And it says in the notes, is widely recognised as one of the most knowledgeable people on the world handicap system in the UK, which I would agree with.
Possibly even the world.
In the world. She knows a lot about golf, a lot about the handicap system. If you have a question, they typically know the answer. Wow. So it was good. We had 45 minutes with them.
Yes.
We learned about a bit more about the world handicap system, the trials, the tribulations, about this new iGolf, as you said. Anyone in the world, or anyone in England, can have a handicap without being a member of a course. That was exciting. I did it and... paid for it. I don't know why. I'm kind of wondering why I did that now.
I know, I'm surprised you did that. Not that you're tight or anything, but I just thought, whoa.
It was done for work, really. It was done for the podcast.
So you were expensive.
Ideally, I've got a good receipt as well. So ideally, that should be expensible.
No, but they were good, really good chat. I kind of wanted to not just pamper the situation as well, because even though golf is at a boom at the moment, and they explained about how much of a boom it was in, I also wanted to find out what they're going to do to continue that and how can they get more people in. Like we've spoken about loads on this podcast about somewhat barriers and limitations golfers will have, daft rules and stupid stuff like that. And I felt like they answered it very well.
They did. And
I've come up with a revolutionary idea.
You came up with a really good idea that I thought was very innovative, very forward thinking.
It's not been done before, has it?
And then they said they're already doing it, basically.
Not the way I would do it.
Yeah, you
I
would do it better.
With music.
Okay then.
So yeah, sit back, relax. Anything else we need to cover? Any other news?
One thing to we were sitting in a different formation because obviously I was next to you and I had a really one of our microphone stands is really long. It's probably the length of this one we've got and a bit more. So I had someone's it on my knee.
Someone's boasting.
Yeah, I've got a long you stand. Had to have no, the long not one. Listen. Let's stop all this nonsense we had last week. Got little Ricky. I actually did Claire tell you a texter?
Yeah.
So a text Rick's wife. We might bleep that out if we don't be able to know her name. What do you say her name normally on?
Yeah, I've said right, okay. Yeah.
I texted her on her birthday.
Weird if you bleeped an egg.
Look, I've got kind of over the bleeping reason. I really enjoy listening back to the podcast when we swear and you bleep it out. Well, Matt bleeps it out. I texted her saying, happy birthday, which has a nice... My thinking was that if I come across like I'm a nice guy to Claire,
yes.
She then says, I tell you what, Rick, guy's a nice guy. And you go, he's a nice guy. And then when I'm on a salary review, you can go, yeah, he's a nice guy, isn't he?
I'll go on today and say, you know what? He wanted to expense his own handicap.
But she said, Rick played me the start of this week's podcast. Oh my God, I was in stitches. A story I didn't think he'd tell. And I replied, I never want to hear about little Ricky ever again.
I found out a few more bits.
Go on.
I Googled it. I've done a few more bits. More juicy gossip. It is a real drink.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And it's...
Is it Mam Mam Juara or something?
Yeah, Mam Mam Juana. I got the name wrong. It's not marijuana or whatever I said. Marijuana. And it helps with the blood flow around certain areas.
Okay, that's very good.
So, yeah, anyway... should we get onto a proper serious chit-chat?
We've got a good podcast coming up, about 45 minutes with England Golf. Even if you're not listening in England, which a lot of our listeners now are worldwide, which is awesome, but it's definitely worth listening to. It's not too Englandy. I think you'll learn some stuff about where golf's going, how golf is growing, how we can make golf even better and more fun for more people across the world. So enjoy it.
Next week, we have an absolute... I don't want to say monster because that feels like the wrong... And I don't think legend quite gives it enough.
Legend gets bounded around too much these days, but legend of the golf game.
Our next guest, next week, episode 92, it's massive.
100%.
Massive. One of the biggest guests we're ever, ever, ever going to have on the Rick Shields Golf
this
Show
person
podcast.
This person would beat you 10-8.
Comfortably.
Would
beat most people in the world 10-8.
The lowest score in a competitive round
is one of the lowest scores in history.
Yeah.
So next week, podcast coming up. Anyway, before that, let's dive into our chat with Gemma and Jeremy.
Yeah.
Well, it's very nice to have you both on the podcast, Jeremy and Gemma. Thanks for being on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
Hi, great to be here.
I'm excited because Gemma, last time we had you on the podcast, you're the star of the show. You actually had one of our most downloaded episodes ever, and I believe it's catapulted you to fame.
Unbelievably so.
I believe you got recognised.
Yeah, in Halfords.
There you go. That's what happens when you come on the show.
It is. It was very nice. It was a little bit of a shock, but yeah, it's always good. Nice to be back.
It's amazing that somebody managed to recognise you when you had your mask on. They recognised you from the voice, didn't they, from the podcast?
Yeah, I think it's the northern accent. I think it's probably quite unique.
I hope he either give you better service or a discount.
Oh, he was a very nice guy, but I didn't get a discount.
Oh, boo.
Never mind.
Loads of things to dive into today. I am really interested to know, with everything that's gone on the last couple of years, I want to ask the first question. I have no facts on this. Is golf booming at the moment? Because it feels like it is.
Yes, it is. I really just have Great. To jump in and say it really is. And don't get me wrong, the last thing you would ever want is a pandemic, a global pandemic. So let's get that clear to start with. But for golf, it's proven to be almost a perfect storm. There is, whether it be from an image, a perception about golf, I think what it's done is it's just almost through... There was a certain amount of necessity through people not being able to throughout the different three different lockdowns. People have come back and they haven't been able to perhaps do their own sport.
Yeah.
So golf is the number one second sport worldwide. So what people tend to do then is that they've reverted to perhaps their second sport or something where you know that it works well from a mental and physical perspective, and they've gone, you know what, it's not potentially that good walk spoiled. I can go out and I get some exercise, I can play some golf. And whether it be from just a participation perspective or the effect on membership, it's really been a great 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've seen it on the YouTube and social media and everything else, but it just feels like the more people we've even spoke to, it feels like there's so many more new golfers or returning golfers or, you know, different, and it's great to see so many different stereotypes of golfers as well, like young or footballers. You know, like you mentioned there, they might have played there, they might have every Saturday played 11 man team.
Yeah, 11 aside. Rick's back in, just a note, Rick's got into football loads recently, so that was him trying to show off how much his nose.
I just embarrassed myself. Yeah. But like, and that'd be out there all day playing football, whatever. Like, I feel like that's the type of person now that are getting into golf and loving it and getting all the new gear and really that is there now. You mentioned their second sport. It's actually almost becoming their first sport, their main sport, which is really exciting to see.
There's been so many examples of cricketers, footballers that couldn't play sport during the lockdown because their season was just demolished by the fact they're in the middle of the pandemic and they just wanted something else to do, an other opportunity to get together with their mates and be sporty.
Yep.
And they've taken up golf, whether they've probably played before anyway, but they've actually gone, actually, I'll go to a golf club, I'll join a golf club, I'll play more regularly. And yeah, okay, they might be the element that they're going to go back into football when the season starts, but actually they'll always still play golf because they've enjoyed it so much that we've got those back into the game.
How do you measure all this? Like, is there actual quantifiable like stats and facts? There's more people in. Are you measuring participation? Are you measuring rounds of golf played? Are you measuring new memberships? What's the metric that's actually measurable?
Well, certainly you'll have two measurables there. One is rounds of play, the second is membership.
Right.
So you definitely have those, and to give you an idea, you know, rounds of play, say, coming out of each lockdown would be double and treble times what would
couldn't
normally
get a tea
be happening.
Could you really?
Because people have been starved, and of it's course. That same old thing. You don't really know what you've lost until you've lost it or had it taken away from you part-time.
Yeah.
So that has had an amazing effect. Certainly with regards to memberships throughout England, we've seen, well, it would be in excess of 25 to 30,000 new members of golf clubs. Which was very much encouraged because, of course, playing rights became so important because coming out of lockdown, so many members wanted to play golf. There weren't tee times available for green fee payers as there normally would be.
Yep.
So that's really helped.
And then, so to put that into a percentage, how many, and again, you guys are the people to ask, how many members are there at golf clubs in England? Is there a number that is kind of year on year? How many members are...
Sure.
And obviously you're England Golf. I'm guessing that's the number you mainly measure. How many members are in England?
Well, we would have in England at the end of last year, there were 650,000 members.
Wow.
We believe that number could grow in excess of 660,000.
Wow.
But on top of that, you would have participants. There's probably another 2 million that would be regular golfers.
Yes.
And then another 3.5 to 4 million that would be sports and recreational golfers that might enjoy something like adventure golf, crazy golf, putting green, go to a top golf, something along those lines.
And do you track that measurements as well? Like, do you track how many people are going to driving ranges, for example?
Yes.
Because driving ranges are packed at the moment. When we've got one that's really close to us, Trafford Golf Centre, where I used to work. I've never seen it busier. The queuing it,
literally queuing.
Across the car park, correct. And then all the way to the other car park, and then up the adventure golf, and it's bonkers.
And you know what? I'm always a big advocate of this. When something looks busy, you want to go.
Yeah.
Like if there's an ice cream shop that's busy, it's got loads of people in, and there's one next to it that's not, you go to the one that's busy and you queue. Hopefully that's having that effect with golf as well. Hopefully it's not putting people off because of the queue or the higher demand of trying to get in. Hopefully it's going, but the hell, golf's booming. I want a piece of that. I want to get a part of that.
Well, Rick, there's always, if you like, that critical mass number, which means it perpetuates.
Yeah.
And that's exactly as you've explained. You start queuing up for something and people are going, well, I want to do that because it's like that demand thing. And but I think the biggest thing really is that the people have come in and they've gone, golf can be fun. Yeah. It is fun. Yeah. You know what? Even if it's just going and having going to a driving range, having a couple of beers and hitting a ball, it's just fun.
And it just feels like it's got cooler. It feels like
yeah.
a lot of celebrities are getting into it. A lot of sports people are getting into it. It feels, I mean, I've had some Olympians who've just won gold in the latest Tokyo Olympics texting me and going, or messaging me, how do I get into golf? And you're thinking, oh my God, this is like, how cool is golf at the moment? Like, it just feels different to what it has done in the, when, certainly when I was growing up, and you guys have obviously seen it through the eyes of England golf. Like, it just seems like it's in an unbelievably strong position. Your goal now, I guess, is to continue it, grow it, nurture it, get those participants that are on the kind of cuff of getting into golf properly playing out on the golf course, joining memberships, and potentially even getting handicaps.
Well, a quick question there, because I think we've jumped into this quite hot.
Yeah,
what
sorry,
we've not, what, I'm what we've not even got in, which I wanted to get in quite early on, is obviously we've got Jeremy and Gemma from England Golf, but to our listeners, who are England Golf and what does England Golf do?
Well, England Golf is the governing body for amateur golf in England. So that means we look after, we would look after all governance matters, all the rules, all handicapping. We look after the national teams. We look after the national championships. So they're just sort of the main parts of what we would do. But we, with regards to certain things such as the rules and with regards to handicapping, we would be the conduit for our country, where we have the R&A and the USGA would be, if you like, they take care of the world with regards to setting the rules and the handicapping scenario. We're the conduit. We make sure that it's hopefully all in the right place with regards to England. So that's our job and our role.
How many governing bodies are there globally? So for example, does Scotland have a governing body as well?
Yes,
Scotland
does.
Golf. Wales Golf? Welsh yep. Golf? And then what about like France Golf? Is that
yeah. did they have Federation de France?
Yeah. And America, and then what's America's version?
The USGA.
USGA.
So that's almost like our R&A. A little bit. Is it a little bit different in the US? Because we've got a lot of US audiences.
Correct.
I'm just trying to understand. Are you more like a state kind of governing body in the US?
If you look at us in terms of size, we probably are the equivalent of something like Florida State right. Golf Association.
Okay.
But we're very different because obviously the State Golf Association is an entity within itself. Whereas us as England Golf, we've got 35 counties and all our golf clubs as well. So we're sort of like the oversight. We are the ones that are trying to lead. We are trying to lead the game.
Great.
And make sure we govern it in the right way and show how good this sport is.
Brilliant.
And sell it.
And that's kind of your headline objectives. Growth. What is there a tagline from England Golf as such?
Well, our tagline right now is Together in Golf.
Great.
Quite simply, you know, wanting to make, you know, that's where our course planner, our 5-year strategic plan, that's the message that we want to put across, that we're all better together in the game, nurturing and promoting the game. But yeah, it's as much about maintaining and making sure that the way that golf is seen, that it's relevant, that it does have the right image, the right perception. Unfortunately, there's an antiquated view of golf, that it is this stuffy old middle-aged white man sport.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make sure that people get a true reflection of what golf really is. There are some wonderful people. It is an inclusive sport, and it isn't that stuffy game that some people think it is.
Yeah, no, obviously, that's kind of one of our main missions. We want to make golf look fun.
Absolutely.
Like we want anybody in the world who, regardless of how much money they've got to play the game, where they can play it, that be able to showcase you can play golf. Mm-hmm. It might be in a different, you might not be playing Royal Birkdale or somewhere like that where it's £300 a green field, whatever, with the best golf clubs in the world. It might be at your local municipal golf course and you might be playing a set that you've bought from Sports Direct, or you might be going to a driving range or mini golf, adventure golf. It's still golf. As long as you're getting involved and participating and growing in love with the sport that we obviously all love, that's a kind of massive bonus, really. And I'm guessing that's obviously along the lines that you guys want to go with as well.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
The world handicap system changed massively, obviously, last year. And Gemma, when we had you on, it was a very insightful chat. And I'm sure many people have listened multiple times to get their head fully around it. Has that now settled? Has that gone in really nicely? Has that kind of gone to plan?
I think it went to plan as well as we could, launching mid-pandemic. But I think we got to the point where we actually had two launches, being realistic. We had the 2nd of November. We played for 3 days. We went into another lockdown. And then we actually had like the end of March when we came back out of lockdowns and started to resume some normality in terms of where we were. And as you can imagine, 2nd of November to sort of like coming back in April, end of March, beginning of April, the number of inquiries, the number of questions were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
To the point we were having around about 15,000 emails in a week.
Oh my word.
My goodness. Just all on handicaps?
Just on handicaps.
What, queries about their handicap change, for example?
Why it was what it was, why they'd changed, what the system meant. Some people asking what was the World Handicap System, what was WHS, they'd not heard about it. Loads of different things, really. But the biggest problem was people weren't using it. So they were asking these questions in the run-up to Christmas and just after Christmas, but nobody had actually had time to go out there and try it. So once people started to come back to golf and started playing again, Jeremy mentioned before about how many scores had started, rounds had been being played. The spike in the number of scores that we were having submitted under WHS was ridiculous. Yep. We've already had, up to now, the same amount of scores returned in 2021 as we had in the whole of 2019.
Oh, wow.
So we ignored 2020 figures because they were just... But for the whole of 2019, we're already at that 5 million scores in a year.
And bear in mind, we only started playing golf in March.
Correct.
Yeah. January, February, we couldn't... in England anyway.
The end of March as well. So we had 3 months there where there was nothing.
Oh, yeah, it was the end of March, wasn't it? It was April when it kicked in. Wow,
so
that's crazy.
It's been huge. So that was sort of like our sort of like second launch. But since then, everybody's got used to it. Everybody's getting used to playing with it and just getting involved and putting scores in and seeing the reaction in yourself. You've seen the reaction of what the handicap looks like and how it works.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, people are just getting used to it. I think you've got to try it. You've got to get it in your hand and you've got to play with it yourself to understand it. And that's where we are now. Yeah. Obviously, we've still got things that we know we can iron out and we can improve. But yeah, it's settling in.
When you say, a huge part of WHS was to get golfers to put more scores in, to get more used to recording their scores, to get more used to having, getting a true reflection of their ability. The old system that we had was fine. And it worked for a time. People never seemed to believe us, did they, when we told them there was going to be this huge change. But it was a huge change. But it was all about, and the whole idea stemmed from people not being scared of doing a card, of actually really wanting to go out and do a card. And you did a brilliant piece on it. I think you +2 were you?
Well,
it was.
But his head's gone big. Dornhouse has got this new WHS handicap. You know,
Jeremy, we're not here for me.
Are we not?
He's a plus.
He's a big RS right there. But that whole idea, though, that really helped because it's getting away from this horrible scenario where people would get a handicap and almost feel like they were stuck with it.
Yeah.
But they now have a situation where they can go out and every time they play, whether it's with their friends or just another member, in more relaxed circumstances, they get away from this feeling of being scared of it and they then get a true reflection of their handicap. So hopefully they can enjoy the game more when they compete.
Well, one of the big things, obviously, that's changed, I think, already, and one of the reasons you've come on the show today is because up until very recently, you had to be a member of a golf club to have an official handicap.
For sure.
I believe now there's iGolf. We've had loads of questions on the podcast group about this in the last few weeks. People want to know more about it. So obviously, we've got the perfect people to tell us. Please explain what is iGolf and how people can get a handicap without being a member of a club.
Sure. Well, if I start, Jim, and then if you want to take over. But certainly from an iGolf perspective, what we wanted to do was... As a governing body, we were seemingly only touching and connecting and engaging with members of golf clubs, and that wasn't a great place to be. So what WHS has allowed us to do and allowed us to extend was to be able to extend that reach and to be able to offer that handicap or handicapping ability, that way to provide a measurement tool for people with regards to their own ability to non-members, which has never happened before. So that's really what we do. iGolf, we launched iGolf specific on July the 13th, specifically with a view to reach out to non-members of golf clubs to be able to offer them the ability to have a handicap, to be able to log into the app, to be able to enter scores, and to also, very importantly, that it gives them a certain amount of insurance as well, just like as if they were a member. So if anything happened bad on a golf course, they have a personal liability insurance up to £10 million worth of cover. So those two really important aspects, a handicap and some insurance, were what we wanted to offer.
And this is, you need to pay for this service?
Yeah, it's £40 per year.
Okay.
On a rolling 12 months. And for that, you get your handicap looked after all the way through when you get that insurance.
That's great. Because, well, yeah, that's a massive benefit, isn't it? Because, like I say, how many non-members of golf clubs almost feel, I don't know, almost out of golf because they don't have a handicap? Because one of the questions is, whenever you play golf, let's say you went to a wedding this weekend and you bumped into another, oh, you play golf? Yeah, I play golf. What's the next question? What's your handicap?
So the two questions, if somebody finds out you play golf or you're a golfer, they ask you two questions. Like, what's your handicap? And either word you play or what clubs do you use?
Yeah.
They're the questions that people always ask if they find out that you play golf. So to be able to say to everybody, you don't have to be a golf club member anymore. You can have a handicap. You can track your ability. You can measure yourself against your peers. Is a great opportunity.
And this is a genuine handicap. It's not like got an asterisk next to it.
It's a WHS handicap index, the same as anybody else's handicap index. It's measured, it's calculated the same way, it's measured the same way. You are just an iGolf subscriber rather than a golf club member. That's the only difference.
And is this just England golf? You have to be in England? Or you have to be in England currently?
So to join iGolf, you have to be resident in England. And you can have a handicap index.
Do America have a similar thing than in the States? Or
the US and other countries around the world have had golfer handicaps for independent golfers or non-member golfers for many, many years. And they've all done it slightly differently. Everybody does it in their own unique way. And we feel that this way and what the product that we've got here and the ability to do it the way that we're doing it with iGolf is the best suited for our market.
So I'm a golfer in England. I'm not a member of a golf club. I want a handicap. Explain to me exactly what I've got. What have I got to do right now to get that to happen?
So exactly the same as if you were a golf club member. First of all, you've got to sign up to the program.
Which is what? So website?
Website. So you can go via the England Golf website, or we have an England Golf, iGolf.co.uk, I think is the right.
We'll put a link in the podcast as well, and on definitely. The YouTube video.
So you sign up through that, pay £40. If you have at any point been a member of a golf club before, so maybe you've had a break away from the game and you're now looking to come back. If you know your old membership ID number, we can find your record. We can bring you into the game using all your old data.
Would it be a benefit to the golfer doing that or not really?
Well, it is if you've already got scores.
Right, okay.
So if you've already got scores within the system, let's use
them. Is this like instant then?
Yeah. Straight away.
Okay. But do those scores have to have happened within a certain time frame?
So from 2018. Right, just as if a golf club member, when we did the transition for WHS, we took scores from 2018 onwards. So we can use those scores. They're genuine scores. They're already in the system, so we can use them. You sign up, you get your membership number, you get access to the app. You can then start to put in scores.
And like the World Handicap System, you put in your 8 scores and then your 20 scores, and it'll just work it out.
Three 54 holes, 3 rounds, 54 holes worth of scores will give you your initial index, and then you build.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It from there.
Great.
Two questions then. On the whole, it sounds awesome. And I am a member of a golf club now, but I've not got a handicap there. So I actually might look at doing this and putting in my old CDH number and seeing what I can get down to, whatever. But obviously, in the old handicap kind of world, I think you could put cards in, couldn't you? But it was more often people did it in comps. And obviously now you don't have to be in a comp, which is good.
Yes.
But do you think, and I'm kind of being a bit negative on this, but do you think that people might be some more dodgy scores? People are playing with a friend at a random course. They might not be playing completely to the rules and putting scores in. Or
we were going to police this exactly the way as a golf club would. So yeah. We have a handicap committee within the iGolf community. We have that committee already structured. You have to put a score in via the app. It has to be attested by another iGolf user or a golf club member.
Okay.
So if you don't know anybody that's an iGolf member or a golf club member, get your friends to sign up as well, because you need somebody else to verify your score.
You can't go on your own, for example.
Correct.
Right, okay.
That's probably one of the biggest things that we've had in the last few weeks, is people saying, I don't have a friend to mark my card. Now, they're probably playing golf with somebody else, but they've just not signed up or they don't understand. But we have to regulate these handicaps exactly the same way as a golf club member would. We're checking them as well.
And to be fair, there's a geolocator on the app as well, so you actually have to be at the golf course. There's a time as well, so you have to be at the golf club. But and when you say that you're going to do the score, there then is a time frame within which you must return the score. Well, so the app is quite developed, because we wanted to take it to a certain level, but we also want to rely on the fact that golf is about integrity. There's a certain amount of honesty. And yes, you know, that there is some people might, it is open to some people, like it would be to some members. But at the same time, at some stage, somebody's going to pick them up on it. And, you know, we've got things in to make sure that the level of integrity is, well, we certainly believe it's greater than it ever was before on the previous system. But, you know, we still rely on people's honesty here.
Has there been any kickback from golf clubs then who are worried that they might potentially lose members or not attract new members? Because one benefit, if you like, of being a member of a golf club was always you could then have an official handicap. But because you can do this through iGolf, that may possibly stop people joining golf clubs.
Sure. It was the biggest worry, to be honest. And with regards to our own stakeholders, whether that's counties or clubs or plenty of members, that was their main concern. So the way that we've tried to position this, this is not an alternative to golf club membership. okay, this is part of a pathway that we would like to be able to provide. We spoke about it already. We don't like the idea that there are people out there that can go out and enjoy golf but not feel part of the community. So we want to be able to bring people into the community. And if they decide then that golf club membership, because they then learn more about golf clubs, is a good way to go, then brilliant. And we've already had some people get, you know, become members of golf clubs from doing it. But it's, you know, it's £40 a year. It doesn't give you the same. There's no playing rights that go with it. Yes, it's a great subscription platform, but there's no playing rights. You don't get the same ability to compete or the social aspects that you would get from a golf club. So we just want to be very clear. We there is a pathway to golf club membership, and we're keen that that's what we want to enthuse people about.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's a pathway. Like I say, I'm sure the hunger for potentially playing in competitions, you know, once you've got a handicap, might
put your skills to the test, isn't it, really?
It just might become. We had a dear Rick a few weeks ago, didn't we? And the guy had a handicap, and he was like wanting to play in competitions because he then wanted to test himself a little bit more. He actually felt like his handicap was too high, and he felt like he was going to win the competition, which is quite a bold shout. I'd actually like to see how he got on. But I think that's, like I say, once you've got through that stage of getting you want to play golf and you want to go to a driving range, have some lessons, maybe then go to a golf course, play 18 holes, maybe get a handicap. Okay, what's next?
Correct.
I want to compete. Okay, what's next? I want to get my handicap lower. Okay, what's next? I want to, whatever it may be, there's a kind of pathways, and all you've done is you've filled a void by the sound of things that was missing that should be a really fantastic service.
And Rick, let's just saying that, you know, whether it be, and this is tried and tested, you know, whether it's walking, running, cycling, it's already there. The moment you're able to use technology to give people a measuring tool.
Yeah.
It drives avidness, 100%. And that's what that's what we're after here. We want to drive avidness of people to get out there and to play more and just enjoy a game more.
Question. It's more marketing. Let's say you've got 10,000 people signed up to iGolf, for example, and you're thinking, well, hold on, these people aren't members of golf courses. Is there a strategy to start to target those golfers? And you might say, well, actually, I've noticed you've played X golf course down the road, your local golf club, 10 times. Okay, are you communicating that to the golf club? Is that legal? Are you allowed to do that? Or is there a pathway of going, this golfer could actually benefit from joining this golf club? They could save money because they're playing this golf course 30 times a year, paying 30 quid a year or whatever it may be.
Definitely. We've already seen that. So we had an example in the first few days of iGolf joining, that a guy joined iGolf, went to his club and said, well, I've joined iGolf, I'm going to put a card in for my handicap today. And the pro went, well, you play here every week anyway and you pay a green fee. If you wanted a handicap, why didn't you just join? And straight away he went, okay, I'll join the golf club, because actually now it's better value for money. But also, we are looking at, we're still relatively new. It's in its development, and we've got plans to create a platform for golf clubs to be able to advertise their offers and actually start to sell themselves to these golfers that are out there that want to play golf.
They're probably playing their golf courses.
Correct.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, and of course, there are GDPR rules that we are totally adhering to.
So
with data protection.
Right, okay, yeah.
So obviously we want to adhere to that. So people would opt in, and if they do, then their home address, they can be connected then with golf clubs in their area. Great. Where golf clubs can reach out to them, as we said, as a platform, to then go, why don't you come along and have a trial day, you know, have some fun at our place. Right. And there will be some golf clubs that will be doing some iGolfer competitions, specific competitions just for them.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's the net that needs to be kind of cast in that area. Golf clubs, there's so many golfers that are probably living so close to the golf club that they could join and not doing for whatever reason. Maybe they just don't know the benefits. Maybe they don't feel included. You were talking about golf together.
Yes.
Is that right?
Together in golf.
Together in golf. And that's it. We've got a golf club here. You like playing golf. Let's do something together.
Exactly. And, like, and it's almost like saying to the golf clubs as well, look, here's your opportunity. We're gonna give you the group of people. We've put these people together all in one space. It's now up to you as a golf club to actually sell yourself in the right way, because we all know how many benefits being a member of a golf club brings, whether it be social aspect, whether it be the competitive, whether it be just that away from golf, those friends that you make, and yourself coming up and being a junior through golf, friends that we have for life as golfers. And it's just giving other people that opportunity. And I think that's what's really important. Absolutely. Because there's people that have never experienced that. If you don't know another golf club member, are you ever going to walk through that door and go, I want to join? But if you know people through a network and you've got a friend that you want to go and maybe try with, you're far more likely to do it than do it on your own. So it's about bringing people together, getting people out on a golf course, and iGolf's just the conduit for doing that.
Great.
I've just signed up.
I've just done it. He's got his bank card out and everything. Should have nudged Jeremy and Jeremy.
No, I just wanted to see how easy it was to do, and I'll claim it back.
Paid everything. Claim it back.
So
is that my card?
No, he's mine. So where do I get an email now? I've just... Yeah. Thanks for joining iGolf, England's golf digital community. You receive payment email. Oh, yeah.
There you go. You're in.
There you go. Hey, look at that. That's how easy it was, everybody.
Yeah, it took me... I was being a bit rude for 3 minutes, but it was very easy and seamless, so congrats.
I'm going to ask some hard-hitting questions, okay? Right now, we're at a boom.
Yes.
Golf is boom. We've established that. 30,000 new golfers joining golf clubs, everything. Amazing. I hear the term thrown about a lot, and I've never really used it in massive contexts, like grow the game, okay? I'm sure you've heard it loads of times. I'm guessing, with England Golf and other governing bodies, that is one of their main ambitions. How is it done? Is there a pathway? How do you grow the game, and how do you keep people in the game?
Well, to start with, you make it as inclusive as you can. It's as simple as that, okay? You have to make the game embracing to new people.
I agree.
And there would be three, we would say, we talk about a golfer's journey as having three specific sections, leisure and recreational, you heard me talk about earlier. Now, that one tends to be looked after by fairly entrepreneurial folk who would be, as I said, that would be perhaps driving ranges, adventure golf, crazy golf, top golf, all of those types of places where no matter what size you are, gender, age, you go along there, and as long as you've got some money, yeah, they're going to welcome you and to bring you along. Now, part of what we must make sure happens is that there is a transition, there is a good bridge between those golfers that are prevalent.
Agreed.
And incidentally, of all ages and a great gender split as well, something like 45% of all of those golfers are female, which is brilliant.
Amazing.
It then comes across to the next bit, which is the avid bit that we've now started to reach out towards now via iGolf. And with regards to them, that's really just a question of making sure that there are plenty of facilities, which again, there are very much green fee driven, society driven, where they have their own communities and they get out for their own set of circumstances for the most, decide they don't want to be a member of a golf club, but they want to play lots and lots. Yep. Okay. So again, as long as golf clubs are welcoming to those people, then again, golf is in a good place. And then you have the golf club membership. Where you have, which would work in tandem, where that would be the furthest part of the journey, but that works in tandem with the independent golfers in the middle, where you must have, whether it's professional golfers or golf clubs, being open to anybody that wants to come and try the game as well and transition from that leisure and recreation and give it a go in a slightly different way. So come along and bring your children and bring your family along.
What do you think the obstacles are of more people coming? I mean, that sounds a perfect pathway. What do you see as being the obstacles of more people getting into the game? I can see a couple, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'd like to hear what you think they are.
First one.
Yeah.
I think things like dress code. I think the fact that you can go, we talked about it a lot on the podcast. It's changing, yes, slowly but surely. And like I say, you can go to a driving range and wear whatever you want. I feel like that next step from there straight to a golf club is almost too severe. Like you need smart tailored trousers, you need tailored shorts, you need knee-length socks at some places. Like you get frowned upon if you went in a hoodie or you went in the wrong clothing. It is changing. I don't know how much you guys get to say in that, because obviously you're just the governing body, you don't own the golf course as such. Do you think that's an obstacle? And then my other one, I honestly think from just driver range, adventure golf, pitch and putt, straight to 18 holes of golf, there's too big a jump.
Agree with that.
There's way too big a jump.
Just a quick, on your second point, I completely agree. And I've got a little anecdote we'll come on to about how he said range is fun and 18-hole golf course is quite daunting and quite big. With dress code, I agree with you that dress code probably should be more relaxed. But is that actually a barrier? Because there's a new golfer that goes to the range once or twice, can even know a dress code is a thing.
I think, yeah, because even when, let's say, for example, I went to a golf event last week with my wife. She asked me, what can I wear? Mm. Like, what am I allowed to wear? Can I wear this? Can I wear trainers? Can I do that? And it was like, I do believe non-golfers or even brand new golfers understand there's a level of dress code you need to abide by, let's say. But I don't know if it's super clear. Mm. And if it is super clear, is it too strict? Can it be more relaxed potentially?
But we look, if dress code has always been an issue in golf. Go back 100 years when women used to have to wear a big long skirt that didn't show their ankles and a corset and all this to play golf. And then I can't remember the lady's name who was the first lady to wear trousers on a golf course.
Yeah.
And that was like 100-odd years ago.
Mm.
And look at where we've got. So to expect golf clubs to change overnight is almost impossible.
It's 100% changing.
It's little bits, and we're seeing that change because
it's without doubt changing. I know it is. We're in a point now where it is definitely. I just don't know if that's being portrayed enough potentially.
But I would also throw in that there are 1,800 golf clubs in England, and you will have all the way through to, championship, open championship golf clubs.
Of course.
You'll have a whole spectrum of clubs. And I think something there, you heard me speak about it, getting that transition right from how do you help people transition from the driving range to a golf course, and you can mix them both in, 18 holes, transitioning straight from the driving range to 18 holes is a huge jump, probably too big and wouldn't be enjoyable. Say that you do there are 6-hole golf courses, there are 9-hole golf courses, there are golf courses with loops of 9 holes. But also, likewise, that there is a learning process with regards to dress code. And I think what you'd find is there are so many golf courses now that they're actually linked in some way to driving ranges, that driving ranges can give you advice with regards to where to go. And when you get there, you'll see that pretty much there is a fairly relaxed approach to dress code. There will be other golf courses, it might be so much as a third or 25% of those 1,800 where you would still be expected to potentially wear a pair of trousers and a collar and a jumper. But you know what? The majority of golf courses now, they're pretty relaxed.
Do you ever encounter a meeting with a golf course of that caliber and they're asking you, how do we get more members, yet they have these outrageously strict kind of dress codes or entry level? Do you ever encounter anything like that?
Absolutely. I think, let's come back to what we spoke about that, this being a perfect storm for with regards to golf, or a perfect rainbow for golf. There were far too many golf clubs, certainly in England, but I'll say across the UK, that had just found themselves in this land of mediocrity. They didn't really understand why they were losing members, but they were. Mm. And for 10 years, golf club membership was diminishing. And it was just happening. It was almost like this creep. The golf was just leaving. And they couldn't understand why. And it's really taken this pandemic to wake them up, because all of a sudden they've had an influx of younger people, sometimes, of more women coming into their golf clubs. And it's been wonderful to see up and down the country of watching and looking at some of these golf clubs turning around and going, you know what? This is great that we have this interest from younger people, from more women, and they're changing because of what's happening to them, because they had got stuck in mediocrity. But there are enough good members now turning around and going, you know what? Let's move with the times. Let's become more relevant. Let's be more embracing to more people.
Yeah. Do you think almost the power's gone almost back to the golfer over the golf clubs? Because I remember back in the day, like, joining fees were a massive, I don't really see anywhere with joining fees. They might actually come weirdly back in again.
They are, because in some places
the demand is so high right now. But I feel like, back in the day, where I used to hear stories where golfers would go to a golf club, try and join with a check ready to go, and they get turned down for one reason or another. Obviously that feels like it's definitely changed. I just feel there's something in the middle section. I think like I never really see a six-hole green fee, for example. It's
really changing, and I think golf clubs themselves are sort of like looking at how they can adapt. So we've seen a massive rise in the number of nine-hole rounds being played.
Yeah.
Now, at the start of the year, we knew why, because green fee Absolutely. And time on the golf course was so short.
People were teeing off at like 6 p.m.
Correct. And also some golf clubs, because they had so many members that they had to get out onto the golf course, were saying, you can play nine holes a day. Wow. We can't get you out. So we're having two nines. People are just going out and playing. We want to get as many people on the course. So nine-hole rounds went up. Nine holes as well is that hour and a half that you can go out and just play.
I like nine holes.
It's brilliant.
It's better than 18.
It's quick. You can enjoy it. You don't feel like I'm out
you've
here
got
forever.
Your fix without it. Being like that strenuous.
That is the downside of golf. Obviously, I've played golf all my life. I'm lucky enough to have played it. But 18 holes is a graft, isn't it? It's like you said, 4 hours on the golf course, give or take. You've got to get to the golf club, get there early for your tee time. It's a day. It feels like a full day. I think nine holes.
Don't forget, this pandemic has also seen a lot of partners, whether that's wives or husbands, turn around and go, oh gosh, a round of golf isn't 7 hours then. Because having tee times and having to leave from the golf course.
Yeah, that's true.
That's ruined a couple of perceptions, but still.
Yeah. But
the fact that people now can go and play nine holes, and we're seeing more golf clubs offering nine-hole competitions, nine-hole rounds. We've had an influx of nine-hole ratings for golf courses because people want to put a nine-hole score in for handicap purposes. Brilliant.
And
I think there's a lot of discussion going on in the wider game around the world about inclusion of six holes and how far you push that, because is three holes a round of golf? That was a discussion that I've had recently. And have you even got into the swing of things in three holes to be able to say that's a round of golf? But six holes is a nice number. You could handicap over six holes. So there's almost that challenge as well. Yeah, we've just had the challenge of WHS, but how can we continue to use this modernisation to drive the modern game?
That is where I think we need to go more with this kind of short and snappier versions of golf, because the driving range, you can have so much fun, chipping comp, putting comp on the practice facilities, but then like I said, 18 holes can feel a slog.
I feel like if you did, and I'm going to copyright this idea, you're hearing it here on the podcast first, quick six, you had to play in two balls, ready golf, and it's an hour, done.
And if over an hour, you get a shot penalty per minute.
I think quick six would just like fly.
Rick's quick six.
Go for a quick six.
But again, it's easy.
It's like £10 or whatever it may be. It's only a tiny step up from driving range prices once you bought 100. Potentially, I remember they've kind of died off a little bit. I remember that time when there used to be two flags in a green.
Power play golf.
Yeah.
But have, of its time now.
But have like a hole that's slightly bigger. Like have a quick six hole that's maybe twice as big as a normal hole, or have it somewhere that's just you play off the forward tees, but it's just a quick six. We're just going to fly around and I don't know. I just think there's that little pathway, and I think honestly, if that was advertised and really pushed, I mean, it's a real shame in this country we don't. You know, I've seen it in other countries where like floodlight golf is huge over in like if we had floodlight golf over here. It must just be the power or the cost of electricity or whatever. But I think through the winter months when it obviously goes dark a lot earlier, quick six after work. And you
quick six at six?
There you go. Six in the morning or six at night.
Yeah. I think what you'll see, though, is the incredible resurgence in golf. It's not just the playing which has got a resurgence. The amount of investment that is now coming back into golf, we've seen for the first time as well, there are golf courses that are being purchased, and they're being purchased with different thoughts in mind. It's how do we create this situation where we get people round quickly? We create different types of membership. We use some of the land for creating maybe a top golf, top tracer facility. Yeah. So we have that driving range fun. We then have a really good F&B. We have a great restaurant or cafe or whatever. And then you have two leaps of six or nine holes there just to get people round for exactly what you're saying, to keep that fun and to do it within a good time.
Question then for you, Jeremy. Well, for both of you, but probably more for you, Jeremy. But obviously, you said last year we had a record number of people joining golf clubs, and then this year as well. I think we said it was the end of March where people could start playing golf again, so yes, therefore people joined. How do you think we keep those new golfers? Hopefully once this pandemic's gone, which it seems to be, touch wood, kind of slowly doing, how do we keep those new kind of casual golfers engaged? Is there anything we need to do, do you think, or you guys need to do? How do you see that happening?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think first off, any of the ones that became members, then it's the golf clubs. As you said, you know, we're the governing body, so we're able to influence. We have a team of 20 club support officers that go out and work every day in all the counties up and down the country, trying to help golf clubs with regards to what their value proposition is, whether that's just playing their golf course from a green fee perspective or a value proposition of being a member. So golf clubs have a duty of care to themselves to make sure that their value proposition is in the best place, that they have, you know, it's value for money, that there is that great social aspect, there's the right amount of competitions and so on. So that's a way we can make sure we retain the membership. With regards to the other aspect, the participation side of things, then I think that's wider, and I think you're going to see more investment as there is now with regards to making golf. Are there different versions, still keeping the integrity of the game, but are there slightly shorter versions of the game? Top Tracer coming into its own, more Top Golfs, the equipment companies coming out with the latest and greatest, as I know that you trial. I think there's a duty of care from everybody, all stakeholders in the game, but it's definitely there's an energy level right there to try to keep as many of those people. But even if we don't keep them with it the main sport, we have had so many people come in, and again I come back to this point that it's the number one second sport.
Yeah.
So that's a great place to be, because you know what, when they stop playing potentially their rugby, their cricket, their football, invariably they get a bit older and they go, you know what? Yeah, I want to get out there on the golf course. That is my exercise. I'm not a gym person. I go to the golf course.
Yep. Makes sense.
Like I say, it's so nice to be speaking in a position that's so strong for golf at the moment. Who would have ever thought, you know, last March when all this kicked off, never did we think we'd be sitting here and going, the golf is in the best place it's probably been for forever. Potentially. I mean, I don't, apart from maybe when the Tiger boom back in like the late 90s, like this is right now that the second biggest boom in golf. I'd like to say it's great to be in that position. What you guys are doing to be able to bring handicap to non-golfers, to be able to grow the game, to bring in people together, those pathways, the fact that we've got fantastic driving ranges certainly around the world at the moment, but certainly here in England, like working with do you work with Top Tracer or anything, or is that, yeah?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Like things like that, because they bring so much value to non-golfers or recreational golfers who, like I say, second or even third sports, as you mentioned, Jeremy, and they'll start to really grow in love with golf. And I think we are in a great position. It's just how do we continue it and keep growing it?
But it's about growing that love. If you love something, whether it's football or golf, if you've got a passion for it, you're more likely to, even if you might step away, you'll come back to it. And that's what we're sort of seeing. We're seeing people that played golf at 10, 11, 12, who then went on and did something else. They played football or cricket, and then now are coming back to the game. We've always had players that played rugby, like rugby lads that played rugby until they were sort of 35, realised that they couldn't get out of bed on a Saturday morning after they played rugby on a Sunday morning after they couldn't get out of bed, and have gone, I need to find something else to do, because eventually I ain't going to get out of bed on a Monday morning, and then it jeopardises work. So they start playing golf. And actually, because we can then get them into the game, they've got a love for it, they've built that love up over time. They might have only watched it on TV. They might have watched the Open or the Women's or whatever it might have been. The Masters is always the one that people sort of like, never interested in golf, but they'll sit and watch the Masters. And it's that spark. And if you can get that and maintain that and then bring it and drop it into people's lives at different points, when it's right for them, then you've got a golfer. Because by the time they're 35, 45, they're a golfer and they're involved in golf, they're a member of a golf club. And if you're a member of a golf club at 45, the chances are you're probably still going to be a member of a golf club when you're 85.
Exactly.
Because you never leave, because a golf club gets the hooks into you and that's it. Yep. You've been on a committee, you've been captain, you've done everything, and then it feels like it's home.
But it's like you mentioned that, not only your club, but all your friends are there.
Like your friends that
that's your, become that's your family,
really.
Of course they do.
And something that we should say as well is that some of the things you asked about TopTracer is the fact that we're not only a governing body that just sits away from golf clubs. We have our own golf club. We have Whittle Spa, where we have a 36-hole golf complex. In fact, circa some 800 acres that we look after in Lincolnshire, 900 members that we look after, that we want to nurture to give them the best experience. But also it is the home of England Golf. So that's where any member of a golf club in England, they have a little share, if you like, that of that particular golf complex. We only put in, at the beginning of July, we put TopTracer into our own range there because we wanted to improve the experience. Yeah. And we just knew that it was a no-brainer, to be honest, to have people coming along and to being able to, again, it's this requirement for technology and to be able to measure what you're doing. How far am I hitting it? How well am I hitting it? We've got that in. Incidentally, you'll be interested to know as well that we have plans for a 6-hole short course
there
as
go.
Well there.
quick six.
We're trying to lead by example and we're trying to experiment ourselves so that when we talk to golf clubs, they get the fact that we're going through an experience as they are.
Well, you need that, don't you? I think that's really
absolutely
important.
You need substance.
You almost need that test dummy golf club as such to go, this is what's worked, this hasn't worked, you know. Sure. You get more respect for that as well.
We can't tell golf clubs what's the best thing to do if we can't do it, if we don't have a play around with it and work out what's the right thing. We can't go to other golf clubs and say, actually this really works, because we've never tried it.
Yeah.
So it's about using Woodall to develop that, and the National Golf Centre to create sort of like a best practice model, but also somewhere where people would love to come.
Yeah.
And really love to spend time and just soak up the atmosphere. We had the golf week, National Golf Week, down at Woodall Spa last week. And we had four or five, six events, I think, our team. They were there for 5 days and it was bonkers. The amount of golfers that were around, everybody happy, smiling. Luckily, it was a nice week and the weather was good to us. But so many smiling faces, whether that be from young juniors through to our senior series finals, and people just enjoying the experience of coming to Woodall Spa.
Yeah. And to be fair, they're normal members.
Golf
normal
club members.
Members, handicap members. It's not this. The week before, the home internationals. We hosted the home internationals at Whittle Spa. So it is just showing that golf is that inclusive game, that one week it can be that the best players in the UK coming along from all four home nations, and the next week it's everyday golf club members coming and enjoying the same place.
Amazing. Well, for me, I want to thank you for all your service, because England Golf, for me, in my career in golf, has been very influential. Things like the Golf Foundation, I used to go out and deliver Golf Foundation classes to local schools when I was a pro at MIA, and to see that infrastructure and to be able to bring those new or non-golfers, complete non-golfers, into golf and get them to love that. And then even more recently, going to JCB and my girls were having lessons with the Golf Foundation pros there. I mean, just amazing what you do, and I think it doesn't get the recognition it deserves, because I think it's not an easy job to grow a game that's still established and somewhat stuck in traditions at some levels. But I suppose you've got to respect the traditions, you've got to respect everything that's gone forth, but also kind of shoehorn it into a direction that's going to continue its longevity into the many, many, many years into the future. So thank you for everything you do, and you and the whole team, because I'm sure, like I say, it's a huge team that goes behind it. Well done on putting the World Handicap System into play, and even, like I say, this the new handicap system, the iGolf, I think it's a fantastic initiative, and everyone listening and watching who wants a handicap and not signed up, join Guy.
Mine's 3.4, so I'll take that.
Have you already done it?
I've done it, it's come up, yeah. 3.4.
Massive out, does it?
So there you
I thought
go.
He was working on this podcast, he's just been getting
I've just been getting my handicap,
He'll be going putting a score in this afternoon now.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Any other things you want to cover? Anything that you...
Well, thanks, Rick. Again, we'd like to say thanks, and thank you to yourself as well, because all of us stakeholders in the game, it is all of our responsibility to do the best by the game, and what you do, the pair of you, is just great, because it is an inclusive game and it is fun.
Yeah,
and that's the best thing about golf. It's a sport. Definitely. And it's fun. So thank you.
No problem at all. Thank you, and Gemma, I'm sure you'll be recognised in many more Halfords moving forward. And Jeremy, get ready for the fame.
It's going to be big.
It's going to get there.
I can imagine Jeremy walking out with like sunglasses coming out of here and like jumping in like a limousine and going, getting a helicopter away.
Lots of groupies screaming.
Straight into fandom. Right, awesome. Thanks for listening to episode 91.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with a couple of banger guests.
An absolute monster of a guest. And another good guest as well. Two monsters.
I'll see you next week on the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast.
See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.